This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 10th of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. His name is Mason, Mark Mason, and he's the author of many books, including The Importance of Being Trivial, What Men Think About Sex, The C Words, and most importantly in this context, The Bluffer's Guide to Bond. Because today, Mark, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is all about the latest Bond book, Trigger Mortis. It's a 007 extravaganza today here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to you, Mark. Sorry about one of those.
No, we've set me up for a fall there. Introducing me as anything remotely like James Bond is angling for trouble. But let's go ahead anyway.
I think we've got to try and get through the programme without actually referencing any of those lines ever again.
Shaken, not stirred. When Roger Moore took over from Sean Connery, he said he was determined not to say shaken, not stirred, because he had to do stuff to differentiate himself from Connery. So yes, no, we've all been through it.
Now, Ian Fleming, perhaps the world's greatest spy novelist, was the creator, as we know, of James Bond. The character, a fictional British Secret Service agent, first appeared in 1953 and went on to feature not only in 12 novels and two short story collections by Fleming himself, but since Fleming's death has continued on in books by seven other writers, including Kingsley Amis, Sebastian Faulks and William Boyd. The latest, Trigger Mortis, comes from Anthony Horowitz and it was published on September the 8th. The book set in 1957, just 2 weeks after the end of Goldfinger, and it takes place against the background of the Soviet-American space race. Mark, is it any good?
I think it's fantastic. It's so good it made me forget how terrible the title is. When I first heard it, Trigger Mortis, that just sounds atrocious. But it may, honestly, and when you read the book, you'll see that Trigger Mortis is a technical device used on one of the rockets. You mentioned the space race. The plot revolves around that.
I thought it might be something to do with the lock and Mortis might have an ICE.
Oh, very good.
End.
Oh, I see. And my thought was that it could be if you don't get to your trigger in time, then you get rigor mortis. Or it could be some sort of 007 slang or Secret Service slang.
But there really is a trigger.
But there is a device on one of the rockets. So there is a technical explanation for it. And also the book is just so good. It really takes you back to those original Fleming novels. And Horowitz has said that as he was growing up, he's in his 60s now, Horowitz. I think he was probably old enough just to have caught the final few books as they were published and read them as a kid. And he's on record as saying that he grew up, that's what made him want to be a thriller writer. And he's now sold tens of millions of copies of his own books. Mm. So it's almost as though he was literally born to write this. You know, he's gone back to where he started.
Yeah.
And he talks a little bit at the end, very interestingly, where he talks about dealing with the estate and he wanted to get into Fleming's prose style. And write the sort of book that Fleming would have written. And he's done it absolutely fantastically.
What have the reviews said?
The ones I've seen have been very appraised it. I thought the same as I did. It's hard not to, really. I don't see what there is to... Horowitz got himself into a bit of trouble with an interview he did talking about who might play Bond in the films. But I think he was stitched up a bit there. Someone left out part of a quote. But actually, in terms of the book itself, the prose style is really good. It's interesting in that bit I mentioned at the end of the book. Talks about how he found it difficult to get into Fleming's prose style. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those books that makes it's so good, it makes you think I could do it. You know, they always say that about goalkeepers in football or wicketkeepers. You only ever notice the bad ones because the good ones just make it look so easy.
Because it does actually contain a little bit of Fleming's own writing.
Fleming's writing, not from the books, but from an American TV adaptation. Before the first film, as you said, the first book was 53 and they became huge, massive bestsellers in the late 50s. So, of course, they started to think about a film. And in the late 50s, there was one TV special in America where Peter Lorre, who played, who was in, what's the film he's in? The big, Peter Lorre was a big film star. He was got a very distinctive voice and he played the chief, the villain. And of course, they called it Jimmy Bond, not James, being Americans. So Barry Nelson is on record as the first man ever to play James Bond on screen. But they were also talking about doing one or two other TV adaptations. And Fleming had done treatments for it and had done some dialogue and some description. And then in the end, when the films started happening for real, the cinema films, they didn't need those anymore. But of course, the estate have got them and they let Horowitz have a look at them. And he took out some of the description and the dialogue and he used it in a scene where at the beginning where Bond meets M It's a classic Bond novel in that it follows the format. The very early on, Bond is sent up to see M and the problem is solved and then he's sent out into the field. And in that initial meeting with M, that's where the original material was used.
Right, right.
And it's done so well, you can't spot the join. You know, it's really, you could believe you were reading a long-lost Fleming original that has been rediscovered.
Now, you made mention there of the fact that he got himself into a bit of hot water. What was all that about?
I think he said, I'm going to be careful here because this is precisely the sort of thing that is the problem I'm talking about. He was talking about, I think, Idris Elba, who's one of the black actors who's been mentioned who might play Bond. Horowitz said that he didn't like him because he was a bit too street. Now, what people then, another newspaper picked it up and decided to drop the fact that later on in the same sentence or the same part of the interview, Horowitz has said, but there's another black actor, Adrian Lester, who I think would be more suitable. They chose to forget that. And they just latched onto the fact that one actor who happens to be black hadn't met with Horowitz's approval. And we've all got opinions on who we think should play Bond.
Well, of course, that's a huge thing. I mean, for many people, James Bond is just a character from a movie, not a book. And indeed, the Bond films are, I think, the longest running and third highest cinema series to date.
It's always a great trivia question. Which character did Joseph Wiseman play in a 1962 movie? It was the title role of the film. The film went on to have 20, whatever, it, whenever you're asking it, you add in the next digit. 20-odd sequels, what was that original character called? And it was Dr. No. People forget that the first Bond film was named after the villain. So is Goldfinger, yeah. Of course, and so are several of the others. But it's a really good trick question because you forget how long it's been going. Yes, they are great films. The early ones, the Daniel Craig ones, I think, have captured the spirit of the book a bit more. Spirit of the books. You know, Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan, they're good films, but they're not really about James Bond in terms of how he appears in the books. The books, and this is why I think the new one's so great, Trigger Mortis, are very complex. They're not the kiss, kiss, bang, bang, you know, corny gadgets, corny one-liners that you associate with the films. They're, for instance, the Bond girl in this, the main Bond girl in this novel, she won't sleep with Bond on the first night. She doesn't sleep with him for a long time. You know, the villain is... It's not a corny cartoon villain sitting there with a white cat on his lap. There's, there's real depth in there. And there's a really interesting explanation as to why the villain in this one, who's a Korean, and there's an incident from the Korean War, set, you know, in the 50s where the book's set, that explains how he's turned out so bad. And the books are more morally complex than the films. And they ask interesting questions and give you interesting answers as well.
That's really interesting that the Bond, a force for sort of moral good and saying no on the first day. It's a great idea. Daniel Craig, of course, as you were saying, latest actor, Idris Elba, probably now not going to get the role. Do you have a punt for the next Bond?
I really, the only prediction, not just in films, but in anything, I think, that is sporting-wise, or any sort of prediction I've ever made that came true was I saw Layer Cake, which was one of the films that Daniel Craig did before Bond. And it was a couple of years before he was cast as Bond. And for all the reasons I've just been describing, in that he plays a drug dealer. But he's a very modern drug dealer, morally sort of, you know, aware of the complexities of what he's doing and gets dragged into killing someone and doesn't want to do it. That's why I thought Daniel Craig would be great as Bond, and he's turned out to be a great Bond. At the moment, I really don't mind. Do you know what? I think Bond should always be someone that isn't famous already. That's sort of true of Daniel Craig. He wasn't a megastar in the way that Pierce Brosnan was very well known, and Roger Moore was hugely well known. Sean Connery wasn't. I think it should be someone who's sort of blank, because that's the point of Bond in the books, is that he's almost like a cipher. He hasn't got much personality of his own. Ian Fleming always used to say he'd chosen the name James Bond because it was a very bland, ordinary name. He didn't want his hero to be called Peregrine Maltravers, which was always the name Fleming used to use in interviews to illustrate it. So I think it should be an unknown. I really do.
Well, speaking of Bond films, of course, there's a new one coming out next month. It's called Spectre. And what's that one about?
I don't know. They've said that they've given some hints that there's going to be early details of Bond's biography in there and give a bit more of his character. Spectre's actually the evil organisation that Bond fights against in the books.
Right.
From a name that is a Russian name translated into those initials. But it's not actually. That's Smirsch. So, I'm sorry, I'm getting my Bond references mixed up. Smirsch is, which you would think was Sean Connery trying to pronounce Smirsch, was Death to Spies in Russian, becomes, if you shorten it, becomes Smirsch. But Spectre is the something for protection Society for the Prevention of Extortion, Cruelty, Terrorism, Revenge, something like that. It's one of those organisations from the books.
Fantastic. Well, the big news, of course, this week is that Sam Smith, the British pop star, has just been announced as doing the title song. That's a biggie, isn't it, for any artist?
It's a big thing. It's so big that even when you're an ex-Beatle, when Paul McCartney did the song for Live and Let Die in 1973, he said, this is, he's nervous. This is a Bond film. You know, it's okay, he's been in the biggest pop band ever, but then you've got to do a Bond theme. And he's got the story of when he did Live and Let Die, the title song for the film. He got it all done. He did the best job he could on it. The horn section, the piano, everything was absolutely done to perfection. They flew over to the West Indies where they were filming at the time, played it to Cubby Broccoli, the producer. And Broccoli says, yeah, that's great. We love that. Yeah, so that's the demo. When can you get the final version done? And McCartney had to say, oh, no, that's it. That's the final version.
And just to finally bring it back to books, do you think Horowitz will write another one?
I hope so, if it's as good as this one. It's seriously good. It's the detail in there. Fleming always, you say, put in lots of detail. So, you know, I've got no interest in cars, but there's a race sequence in there where Bond's in a race and he's trying to protect one of the other drivers. And he spells out that it's a Maserati 250F. I hope I've got that right. Because I've got no interest in cars. Couldn't tell you one end of a car from the other. But I like an author who obviously knows his world and is putting in that detail. It makes it all seem more real, makes you trust in the world and in the book all the more.
Well, sadly, we don't have all the time in the world. Trigger Mortis by Anthony Horowitz is out now. Thanks to my guest, Mark Nason. Until another time, another place, you've been listening to... I couldn't get to the end of the programme without tucking in those lines. I'm sorry. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and join us again tomorrow for our film review. But for now, thanks very much for listening.